Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this evening will be taken from our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 9. Well, there's a huge bronze statue in front of the United Nations there in the city. And this big bronze statue is of a man holding a hammer and he's pounding on a sword. Now, what he's doing there is he's seemingly pounding there on this sword is that he's pounding the very end of it and turning it into a plowshare. It's interesting when you look at this because here it is, this sword is an instrument of war and death. And by turning it then into a plowshare, it becomes an instrument of growth and life. Now the interesting thing is that this at the bottom of the statue there are quoted these words, "We shall beat our swords into plowshares." Well, this statue was a gift to the United Nations in 1959 from the former Soviet Union. Now, it symbolizes the goal of the United Nations to promote peace among the countries of the world. Now, the interesting thing is of this, a communist government here who's promoting this has actually taken these words from the Bible. And where does it come from? Well, it comes from the book of Isaiah, the very prophet in which we're looking at this evening, in which he says that there'll be this time which will prevail among the nations, peace. He says it this way, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." What a beautiful picture there that the prophet gives us of peace. But what kind of peace is Isaiah speaking of here? Well, is that peace between nations? Certainly. But yet, at the same time, it's certainly more than that, too. Peace, the Hebrew word for that is shalom. When we talk about shalom there, when we're speaking it from God's perspective, this is a far deeper peace. Paul puts it this way, "It'll be a peace which surpasses all understanding." It's a peace which will be ushered in, as Isaiah prophesies, by the Messiah. Now, Isaiah here announces this coming Messiah this way. He says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." Now, the arrival of this promised one, well, it's going to be a baby. It's going to be a child, this coming child here. And he would be born. And this child to be born would be the Son of God. Now, it speaks about how the government will be upon his shoulder. Well, what this means is that the rulership of the world will be his. That's where we get the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Everything is under him. But also, too, we're going to find here that who else is this? What are the other names that are given to him? Wonderful Counselor. That depicts there about his supreme wisdom. The wisdom of everything is his. What else? We've got Mighty God. Well, that speaks of his divine nature and omnipotent power. Everlasting Father. There's an interesting one. Well, that speaks about his eternal existence as source of all. Now, we've got all these here put together. Well, we find that this is just no ordinary human being here, but rather someone who's extraordinary, extraordinary, if you will. It's none other than one who is omniscient, all-powerful, God incarnated in human flesh. But why will he come? Well, the answer there is found in his final title. The Hebrew there is Sar Shalom. The English translation of this, Prince of Peace. He will come to bring peace. He will come to bring the ultimate shalom that God offers here. And of that peace, it will have no end. Now, when this promised Prince of Peace was to be born in Bethlehem, well, that happened almost 700 years after Isaiah spoke these words. But here, what do we find when that happened? Well, when it happened, the angels came. The angels sang there to the shepherds. And they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Now notice there, it didn't say the King James Version there, "peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Okay, the more accurate translation is the words that I've spoken there, "on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Now notice that the angels announce this peace to men, to human beings. And who is it from? God. God who has sent this child. Now the angels were saying here that this little babe would bring God's peace to men. First and foremost, that peace would be established by the Prince of Peace between God and man. And that is where his favor will rest on those who believe. Now, the reason for such good news is this. Well, we are sinners. By nature, we are enemies of God. Isaiah writes about this enmity between God and his creatures. Isaiah puts it this way. Your iniquities, okay, sins, and you can always think of iniquities as really bad sins, if you will, if you want to put it in those kinds of terms. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Yes. God has turned away because of our sins. Our sins and iniquities there are offensive to God, to a holy God, who must condemn those sins because of his wrath toward sin. But Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, well, he's the one who's going to receive the full wrath of God's anger towards sin. And it happened through his death on the cross. He experienced that. And Isaiah described that 700 years before it happened in chapter 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Yes, indeed, his punishment is what brings us peace. Hard to believe, but that's exactly what it is. Peace with God yet again. And Paul describes it this way in Romans. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Justified by faith. Okay, that gets right back to where is God's favor going to rest? On those who believe. You see, this is the peace that surpasses all understanding. Because it is Jesus who brings us that peace. Peace with God through the forgiveness of sins. God is at peace with us because of the work of Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. But peace with God ultimately brings about another kind of peace. Peace with one another. But regrettably, we have a hard time living at peace with each other. Think about that. How often is there no peace between people? Between neighbors? Well, the home that Donna and I bought way back in the day for now, back in Arkansas, well, that was a few years. That was before the seminary, so we're talking, 25 years or more. Yeah, long time ago. Well, anyhow, we bought this house from a guy who owned an RV. He liked to park that on the side of his house. Now, when we bought the house, he was telling us all about who lives across the street. In fact, his brother lived across the street. But there was this one guy over here on this side of the house here. Well, he was a real pain. Beware of this guy. I'm like, okay. Well, we bought the house, and there were these 4x4 posts that started at the curb and ran right back to the back fence, separating the houses there. And so I'm like, wonder what this is all about. So when I moved in, the next door neighbor, the guy who's supposedly the pain is, you know, he comes up to me, wants to introduce himself. I thought this is pretty good for a guy who's not really a pain, you know, supposedly. And so I asked him, I said, what's the deal with these posts here, laying here in the ground? And he goes, well, you know, the guy that you bought the house from, he liked to park his RV alongside the house. This I knew. No big deal. He'd just pull it up and park it. Now, what he did, though, and this is where the guy starts explaining a little bit about what happened, is that his neighbor here, the guy whom I bought the house from, used to back his RV up with his truck to pull it in there, but he would start in the neighbor's driveway, cut across the yard, the neighbor's yard, and then pull it in and to go back into his house. Thereby doing what? Creating big ruts right there in the neighbor's yard. And so he said, you can no longer do that anymore. He put the posts in the ground so that you stay on your side of the, you know, your property, and you stay off of mine. No, I'm sitting here thinking, wow, the guy I bought the house from said he was the pain? Really? And so I told him, I said, well, one thing, I don't own an RV, and you don't have to worry about me ever driving through your yard to get into my yard. Well, guess what? Later that afternoon, he picked up all the posts and put them away. Now, posts, supposedly there brought peace between the neighbors. Really, that was more of a division, keeping that divide going. Sometimes you have people that are just plain difficult to love, right? It happens. Who's that problem one in your life? Could be anybody, right? Could be a spouse, could be a child, could be your employer, could be a teacher, classmate, former friend. Sometimes it's just difficult to love them and much less be at peace with them. And that's where Paul writes this in Ephesians. For he, meaning Christ himself, is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Christ has broken down an even greater barrier between Jew and Gentile, between husband and wife, between worker and co-worker. We can love that person next door. Why? Because God is love, and God shares that love with us so that we in turn can love others. You see, he has shown us that love by the mercy that he gives to us. Now, think about what that can really look like. Think about it as you hear this is one of my favorite stories to share this illustration of what love can look like between two people who are enemies. It was Christmas Eve, 104 years ago, 1914. The Germans and the British had been fighting against each other in all kinds of ways, going on for months and months and months, and so now it's Christmas Eve. And here they are. It's at night. And then all of a sudden, the British start hearing this singing across the no man's land that went between them. Because here they are, and they dug trenches, you know, and they're getting up and shooting the guys over there on the other side, hoping they'll find somebody. Well, they start hearing this one guy start singing. And the next thing you know, there's more guys over there on the other side singing. And what are they singing? Stille Nacht, Heilige Nacht. Silent Night, Holy Night. That's what they're singing. And then what happens? Well, before you know it, you've got the English guys start chiming in, singing along with the Germans on the other side. Now, this all got reported, interestingly enough, in Retired Officer Magazine. All right, you got to love that title of that name, Retired Officer Magazine. And the guy wrote that the British sentries there, well, they were looking over there, and they start hearing some things. And the next thing you know, you start seeing candles. Lights going on over there. That seems kind of foolish because that means they're making themselves targets over there. But the British people got their binoculars and looked across the line there. And what were they doing? they were holding up Christmas trees, waving them over their heads with candles on the Christmas trees, waving it back and forth. And then the British officers start looking. Next thing you know, they see some of their soldiers putting down their arms and walking across the lines over there to the German side, the Germans walking over there towards the English. Incredible. What they're doing there is they start patting themselves on the back, wishing each other Merry Christmas here. In the middle of a war, they're out there doing that. They start showing pictures of their families to one another. They're exchanging chocolates and that kind of thing. And then some of these guys there shot up flares in the air. Why? So they could play soccer right there on Christmas Eve, right in the middle of a war. It's an amazing thing what happened. Here they had peace between two enemies. Interestingly enough, the next year the generals didn't want this to happen. So on Christmas Eve, they would just lob mortar every 5 minutes, 10 minutes or so, just to make sure nobody would get out of their foxholes and run over there and say Merry Christmas to the other side. It's interesting when you really start to see what can truly happen when God's mercy gets shared with one another, when God's peace gets shared with one another. Think about this time during Advent here, about who came. This one who was born, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Indeed, the Prince of Peace came so that we might have peace with God and in turn share that peace with one another. May we always share that love and peace that God first showed us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now you know why I end all my